5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Happy Sunday, Croc Nation. This is your friend Tommy Anelli, your cancer survivorship bus driver. On my left, Angel Santana, Have Faith, Let It Begin. Angel, there is a law. The law is there has to be good weather for us to record these podcasts.
Yes, because we've been doing some thunderstorm podcasts.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you right now, it's a Wednesday afternoon and it is beautiful. The sun is shining and my room, my office is extraordinarily shining because we have a guest for you today. He's a real character, dear friend of mine for 15 years, cancer survivor times two, Army veteran, New York City Police Force, a true hero, New York State, and his name is John Fezza. Welcome, John.
How you doing, Tom? How was everybody?
Everybody's great. Yeah. So I was going to say that this podcast, Angel, was really inspired by the July 4th weekend. We just got done with our celebrating July 4th, the birthday of our beautiful country, our dear country, our country of freedom, our country of pretty much probably the best country that ever was in the history of the world.
That's why everybody comes here.
There you go. Exactly right.
They leave their country and they come here.
Yeah, that's how good this country is, right, John?
That's right.
And I was at a picnic. I was actually at two picnics on Sunday. And my wife has me on a new diet. So I saw all these hot dogs and hamburgers and kielbasa and steak and chicken parm and lasagna. And I had to eat rabbit food. But you know what? God bless me. Look how great I look today, right? Yes, I mean, if I won't say so myself. And what my wife doesn't know is all the hot dogs I ate behind her back. No, I'm only kidding, honey. I didn't eat any hot dogs. I stuck to the to our agreement.
Well, it's a meat diet, you know.
Yeah, that's
true. You can just eat meat and lose weight.
Yeah.
But at my age, too much meat could put you in the box.
Angel and I used to be on what's called the seafood diet. We saw food and we ate it.
Yeah, that's
exactly
it.
That. But I gained weight from all the food you just announced.
So, John Fezza, thank you for joining us. What I said to you, again, our pre-podcast preparation took about 20 seconds. You are the representative for Angel and myself on behalf of the Croc Nation. And what is the Croc Nation? So the Croc Nation is a group of cancer survivors who come to this podcast, who have come to our organization, which you know about, to get help, to get information, to get support, to get inspiration from other cancer survivors. And not only are you a one-time cancer survivor, but now you are a two-time cancer survivor. So you are representing both our veteran survivors, as well as all of our first responders as a law enforcement gentleman.
God bless
and, yeah, for sure. So tell Angel and I and the Croc Nation a little bit about, you know, just about you as a person. You know, you hail from the lovely Hudson Valley. Is that correct?
No,
Brooklyn.
Yeah, that's right. I was born and raised in Brooklyn.
Yep.
In 49. I'm a Truman baby.
Yes, you are.
I think one of our best presidents was Eisenhower because he was a general and he knew what had to be done when it came to push to shove. I grew up in Brooklyn. I stayed there until I was 26. I decided I was going to get married. I got married, did not want to raise a family in Brooklyn, live in an apartment or buy an overpriced house in Brooklyn. So I decided to come up to the Hudson Valley, had friends up here, very nice area. No problems. Everything seemed to be in first and second gear. And everything was already up in fifth gear in Brooklyn and Manhattan. I came up, I bought a home and raised two children here. Happy, they're wonderful children. I have a wonderful wife that's, she takes care of me and the children. She takes care of me just like one of the children.
Wow.
But I've been up here since 71 and 72, I really got my claws in and I really enjoy it. Unfortunately, I came up with one cancer and because of all the help and the service that we have up here in cancer, I met Dr. Iannelli, Tom, and we took care of things, and thank God that's in my past. Well, something else has come up, and I'm going to be 73, but in my 72nd year, something else came up, and we're working on that, and that'll be in my past also.
I agree with you 1,000,000%. You know, I was mentioning you were born in 49. I was born in 1960. And just again, we're having a podcast to honor the military, particularly military survivors. So cancer survivors who served in the military, to give them honor. Now, being a 1960 baby, you know, growing up in the Vietnam era, you know, being a soldier, serving your country was not sort of thought of with any great admiration. As a matter of fact, there was disdain.
Or enthusiasm.
Exactly. And, you know, I think I grew up with that. You know, I grew up with the Vietnam War. I grew up with the Vietnam movies. You know, most everybody a generation before me grew up with the World War II movies. They grew up with Gregory Peck and John Wayne and Where Eagles Dare and all these great, the Green Berets. And, you know, I grew up with the Deer Hunter and Apocalypse Now. So the whole view of the military, you know, was very dour, you know, was very down. And I am so happy to say that things have made a 180 degree change. I see somebody, and I'm saying me, it has nothing to do with me, everybody. You all know that. I say that every week. But me representing, you know, America, you know, we see a veteran wearing your Army veteran hat. We just met a gentleman, another survivor, wearing his USS Constellation Navy hat. He served on the USS Constellation. And you stop what you're doing and you shake their hand and you thank them for their service. We have come a tremendously long way from the days of my youth, of my growing up. And you mentioned, you know, you had to live through that, John. You were in the Army during that time. You've seen veterans with post-traumatic stress that have ruined their lives. And like I said, you representing the survivors as a two-time cancer survivor now, Angel and I in the Croc Nation couldn't thank you anymore. Do you have anything that you want to say to the veterans who happen to also be cancer survivors?
Well, to all the veterans besides the cancer survivors, thank God there is the treatment and the doctors like the Dr. Iannelli and the rest of the doctors that take care of us. But veterans alone, when we came home from what they didn't call war, what they called a movement, or they had another name for
military
it.
Action.
Action.
Yes.
The civilians of this country were so dead against it when we came home. They didn't consider us soldiers. They considered us implements that we were just being used over there. Unfortunately, it was something that we got into to try to help along. And we always do, but we don't get any gratitude for it.
Yeah.
And it's just something that all the veterans should be proud. If you even served for a day, if you went in with the intention of serving our country, that's the main thing.
Man, that's exactly what I was going after, John. And I'm looking at John in his eyes and he is watering up because this is coming right from his heart. And that was beautiful, John. That was really beautiful. And we thank you on behalf of everybody for your service. If you ever noticed, even at the airports, when you go on an airplane, they call the veterans first. You know, active military, retired military, they get on the plane first. And I think that's amazing.
Well, there are some adults of your generation and the generation after all the wars were over, you know, even Desert Storm and the parents of the children now, I've had children come up to me, and just because I put on a hat, I put on many hats because of my bald head, but I happen to have a veteran's hat on, and young kids that are nowhere near military age say thank you for your service.
Yeah.
Because they're taught by their parents.
You know, I don't know if you know this, Angel, but back in the generation right before John, so actually, I would say maybe a half a generation before John, there was actually a 2-year military service duty that everyone had for this country, where my uncles all served for their 2 years. It was not active service. It was not, well, like John, when John, you know, was in during wartime, but certainly they had to do their 2 years, and then we don't do that anymore. So I think I always mention, and I'll have John comment on this, that we may have lost something with that, in the sense that we now feel very entitled. We're part of this country. It's a free country, and we get to worship the way we wish. We get to do what we want. I remember going on a trip to Russia to do some climbing in the day, and I remember just going from county to county in Russia. You had to go through a military barrier with a tank and people with machine guns. That's like going from Orange County to Rockland County. You'd have to stop and show your papers. And here in America, you could drive, you know, from Maine to California, you know, from Washington State to Florida. You could walk up the Appalachian Trail or the Pacific Coast Trail, and nobody's going to ask, and nobody bothers you. It's just the greatest country.
It certainly is. Yeah. I've been out of the country several times, and over in Europe. I mean, even in my heritage country in Italy, driving along, they drive like maniacs. we call them freeways in California. Over here, over there, I don't know what they call them. I think they're just raceways. But they stop you. And there's three carabinieri, which is like, not like the state police. They're for the whole country. They're the leading officers of the whole country. And they stop you, ask you for your papers, and somebody's standing there with a machine gun, like you said. So to be in a country where you never have to deal with that, which is very difficult for a young person to realize that. And that's why everybody from other countries come here. But the thing that bothers me a bit is when they come here, they don't appreciate that. They don't realize how good they have it. They do, but they don't let us know about it. They complain about it. They want to know what we can give them, which is certainly wrong. And they don't thank anybody for what they have by coming here.
But your parents were born in Italy or born here?
My father was born in Italy. My mother was born here. And my grandparents
were all born in Italy. So, but I mean, you and I are both, you know, we're children of immigrants. And I have to tell you that, you know, my experience of immigrants, you know, having been in an immigrant family, was always the greatness of America. I have to say, you know.
Of course. And there was something that you said before that, you know, we should, even if you're the only people that deserve anything in this country, what we have is God sent. What everybody that's in this country has is God sent. Only people that deserve anything, and I say it again, they deserve anything. Nobody deserves anything but what they have when they wake up in the morning is the American Indian. The only ones. Anybody else that says because of, they're playing a card that nobody really should. Nobody deserves anything but the American Indians.
Well, I'll tell you who deserves a great shout out again on this American podcast, honoring American heroes, is our veterans, John.
Regardless of that, our veterans here are either like you and I are from another background, with parents that came from other countries. Oh, they definitely do. But I'm saying when people are asking, what are you going to give me? What is this country going to give me?
Yeah.
Shouldn't deserve anything. The American Indian is the only one that deserves that because of what was taken away from them. But
so John, as a serviceman, as an Army veteran, and in addition to that, a 2-time cancer survivor, that wasn't the only heroic battles you faced. You also were a state investigator, undercover investigator. probably got shot at a bunch.
Well, what I was, to clarify, I was with the Narcotics Control Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And what that was it was, I grew up, and just like every teenager did, we all tried this or that, you know, as we were growing up, just like in generations past, drink was the thing. But then when it became drugs and things like grow plants and stuff, naturally all teenagers, most teenagers tried that. But I felt that that was a big problem in this country. A lot of people weren't, a lot of people growing up weren't on the right track because of drugs. If they tried drugs and stopped, that was one thing. But to try drugs and continue, that ruined their lives and the lives of people that came after them. So I decided that the only thing was to try to fight drugs. And I went, I was going to go with the state police, but at the time I was too short. Now will you be accepted, with my height at five, six and a half. But, at the time I was too short. So I tried to find some place that would deal just with drug and drug rehabilitation. And that was the Narcotics Control Commission, and it had to deal with people that got in trouble and broke the law, and it dealt with drugs and rehabilitation. So I got into that. Unfortunately, the government didn't fund it enough because it wasn't a department. It was a commission. A department gets money every year, a commission, if we have extra money, we'll give it to you. So a bunch of us got laid off, and then we were called back about a year later. And, you know, time went on, and it was very successful, but there was nobody to stand behind it because it was that extra little money that the government had to give to a commission. They wanted to put it somewhere else. And some of it, if I must say, was in their pockets. So all the commissions got cut up in pieces. Oh, we don't have enough money for you. So they dismantled the organization. So, but it was something, and I got out of it, and it was something that I felt proud to try to do and try to be successful for something to work. And we still have organizations that help, but now they're clinical.
Gotcha. Angel Santana, what do you think of this hero?
I'm fascinated by the story. You know, it's, I kept thinking about, because my father did over 30 years in the Army, and he did the Vietnam War. And one of the things that I find amazing, let's go back a little bit. So we talked about the thank yous. I'm 43. So my generation, for me, was the Kuwait War, you know, and the save the, you know, respect the troops, the yellow ribbons. Right. And then, of course, unfortunately, 9/11 would be the next one for me. So, you know, I understand that we have lost at times when we lose that great feeling of being a proud American. Sometimes the act of war, not that I condone it, brings us back full circle.
Oh, yes.
Right. So, but I think what hits home to all of us and every generation is obviously 9/11. I don't want to get into the whole political thing about it, but the bottom line is this. What I'm fascinated about your story is you went and wanted to be a person that was dedicating his life to save others.
Well, so you brought a new resolution.
You did.
To try to.
And from there, you went and became. You did something even better. You went to fight the war on drugs, probably before the war on drugs got as thick as it is today, but you saw it. So when I look at you, and you're all doctored up for the ones that are not able to see what we were seeing, you have an American flag mask, you have an American flag shirt, you have this American, you're just tattooed America, right? So what I see is, I don't see the person, I see the star that represents the flag. And I see an individual that is oozing with American pride.
Yes.
And is very, very, very grateful and proud of what he has accomplished. That being said,
and what other people in that have the same mindset as I do have accomplished also.
And then to hear the fact that you're battled another storm that has nothing to do with military, one can almost, I was going to say two storms,
yes.
Right? You almost wonder that military background, that heart that you were born with, prepared you to face a storm that you weren't trained to hit. So my question to you is, because I wanted to say a statement, my question to you is, do you believe because I believe that we're all destined to be here for a reason. You have a purpose. You served your purpose by serving us. For that, I thank you. I'm grateful. I'm eternally grateful.
You're welcome.
But do you believe that also, maybe it was a big help so that when you were told, hey, you have cancer, how did that help, that training?
Well,
Because as somebody who's never had cancer,
right,
and you hear about it on TV,
thank God, right?
Tell me in your own words, would that have helped you?
The fight behind my military and my thought to be in a position to try to fight the war on drugs, that same fight has to come from spiritual thing. There's, you know, we're not here. I don't care how we started, Darwin. I don't care how we started. We're here. It all started somewhere. And there's somebody higher up. And that higher up is my belief. And my belief pushes me towards what I've done. What I continue to do, I belong to the Elks, the Elks Lodge of Middletown, and there's people that are always very active in organizations, and one of the active people was Mr. Bristol, and when he found out why I was with the state narcotic, he said, "Would you have a little? We can get some kids together and have a talk." I said, "Without a doubt." Enlighten them to the things they should watch out for, the dangers, and don't take it lightly. And all of these things are something that if I could get a young person that really wants to listen and absorbs what I say to them to tell their friends, then their friends would think about it when they're all sitting down and a new drug comes out, which they come out with every day, a new way to get high. And when a new drug comes out and five friends are sitting around saying, oh, let's do some of that, whatever it is, that new ABC drug. And the one that I talked to, it's in his mind, and his friend that he convinced, they're going to try to stop their friends from doing that or getting involved in that, or if nothing at all, they're going to step back and be two out of the five that are not going to get wrapped up in a new type of drug. And that's the reason anyone that has any questions about drugs, I'm a little bit behind now when it comes to all the newest stuff that's out. But I still know it's all the same effect, so distorting your brain and everything else.
So I'll close finally with my last statement. On behalf of my generation, I can't speak for everyone. I'll speak for my generation. I thank you for not only putting yourself first, but putting America first. And more importantly, for all the storms that you have battled, I only hope and pray and know that the next battle that you will win will be the second battle that you will claim victorious on.
Wow.
And I'm glad to say that when I look at you, all I keep hearing is one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
For all.
Beautiful job, gentlemen. John Fezza, thank you for your time. I want to take a few minutes to sort of summarize today's podcast and tell Angel and all the listeners, this will not be the first and last episode honoring America. We will do special podcasts for Veterans Day, for Memorial Day, and for the 4th of July. John Fezza is our first guest representing our survivor veterans. Thank you. I think that another thing that came was very clear to me during the recording of this podcast is that we live in the best country that ever was in the history of the world. Yet, it would be very, very unrealistic for me not to acknowledge some of the trials and some of the obstacles and challenges that we have in front of us as a country. Over the last probably 6 years, we've seen much derision. It doesn't matter what your politics are. As a matter of fact, I couldn't care less about what your politics are. This podcast is completely non-denominational. It's completely non-gender biased. It's completely all about equality. It's all about acknowledging all of us on this earth as equals. But because this is an American podcast, this is a great country. And I think I want to tell everybody that I have hope that we will continue as Americans to do the right thing, to pull together, to weather the storms that are upon us, to be able to be nonpartisan, put politics behind us and join hands as Americans, to try to live by the American spirit that began with the American Indian, as John had mentioned so nicely, and came through our all of our generations, from the Pilgrims to our founding fathers, through the Revolutionary War and beyond, through the greatness of this country in the world wars, through the not so great moments that we've had as a country, to be able to learn from our mistakes, and yet at the same time, come out of these mistakes, not being judgmental, but being supportive, especially for our armed troops, our armed forces, and all the brave men and women who have served this country so gallantly and with so much courage and so much devotion. To our cancer survivors who fight battles every day, who fight wars every day, John is also representative of you. He's a two-time cancer survivor, in addition to everything else that he's done in his life to make this country a better place. And I think that would be the best way to end this podcast. And as always, Angel, with gratitude, Angel Santana, best podcast man in the world, best friend, best co-host, have faith, let it begin. Rod Freeman, who happens to be on vacation. Rod, have a great vacation, but anybody who has a small business and wishes his assistance, it's Small Biz Up. Check them out on the websites. Our friends, Michael John Benzea, Charlotte Larson, for your generosity, support, and belief. God bless you. We love you. And as we end every podcast, on behalf of John Fezza, Angel Santana, and Tommy and Ellie, I say to all of our cancer survivors, we wish you a long, healthy, happy, cancer-free life. God bless you. God keep you. Peace.
And may God bless us all.